Hello, Jordan.
What's up, Michael?
What are you eating?
Bro, you're not going to believe it. How about you guess? You can see it, but I don't know if you're going to guess what it is.
I mean, there's a reason I asked. I don't know what it is. It looks like some kind of chocolate bar, but it's not. I'm guessing it's some kind of like either higher in protein than normal slash higher than in fiber than normal chocolate bar.
Yeah, you're right. It's a protein option. It's a protein bar. It's a built. This is not a sponsor. All right. Builders, you know, the
Cliff Builders.
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
The mint chocolate one. Super good.
I'm guessing like 20 protein, 10 ish. Well, it said 20 protein on the front, but 20 protein. Aren't those fats are like in the 5 to 12 range and they're higher carb. I remember. I want to say like north of 25 to 30 carb.
Bro, you're good. 20 protein, 31 carb, 9 fat.
I gave pretty big ranges. I went quite safe. Can't take too much credit there.
Delicious.
Attaboy. You're on a high. You're dialed. Did you dial in your nutrition?
Yeah.
You're going higher meal frequency, higher protein, lower calorie than I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I got a little bit fatter than I wanted to be. So I was like, all right, let's just dial it in a little bit.
It's a good way to do it. You got to the top of your maintenance range that you're comfortable with, and now you're dialing in.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it.
I feel like you're always dialed. Like your nutrition dial meter is just always on dialed. It's just always on point. With occasional moments in which like you snack a little bit more, but like
I appreciate you hyping me up. I don't think that's true.
I'm your hype man.
I'm more dialed than average, certainly, but not always dialed.
But like I feel like you're more dialed than even the average fitness professional.
Definitely. The average fitness professional Well, the average fitness professional, like, this could be a whole conversation. There's a lot going on there. One is you from 2017 to 2019, where you have business so hyper-focused that your own fitness takes a backstage, which makes sense and is totally understandable. There's another variation of the dialed fitness professional who sadly has their own issues with food or, you know, exercise, where you could get away with it more in like the non-social media era or the less social media era, but will go hard and take lots of pictures when they're in really top tier shape, but then most of the time isn't in that kind of shape. And it can be when you're grinding, when you're training clients in person and you have 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. wake ups and you have an awkward midday break and you have clients going until 9 o'clock at night and you got to clean up the gym and shut down. Your sleep is limited. Like you're on your feet that much. You're not wanting to work out during the day. I understand it.
Yeah, I get it. You're just on another level.
Okay. All right. Enough.
How was your lift today?
It was really good.
Oh, was it? You had a good lift?
Yeah, it was very good.
Oh, nice. Upper body pull, sick pump.
Yeah, there were some sick pumps. Went with more exercises, fewer working sets per exercise, which just generally leads to me feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
And same outcomes.
Better outcomes.
Same outcomes in terms of...
physiologically.
Yeah, maybe better outcomes, actually. Yeah. I have a lot here.
Dude, can we just... I have to toot my own horn.
Oh, please.
Social media? Personal trainer, social media, you kidding me?
Dude, you are on absolute fire. Picking banger clips. Shout out David for putting together those banger clips. You're picking out the banger clips. You're posting them consistently Sunday, Monday, Tuesday mornings. We have a real routine. I don't think you've missed. And I don't remember the last time you missed. Weeks, months, maybe.
No, I don't know. I'm in a real streak right now. And I'm feeling good about it. So I just wanted to bring that up. And thanks for everyone who's engaging on the posts on YouTube, on Instagram, how to be a personal trainer or personal trainer podcast on Instagram. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. We appreciate the hearts and the comments and watching over there as well. Yeah, man, you're crushing.
Yeah.
You really found a system that works in terms of time of day and which days
that works, and then you tried to make me think that I found it, you found it. You tried motivational interviewing me.
I didn't try.
You were the one who
I didn't try. I did.
Yeah.
And it worked. You know yourself and your schedule well enough to know that those are the times that would work.
Yeah.
And the days that would work.
Yeah. Instill enough fear in me, it'll get done.
On a scale of 1 to 100, where 100 is max and 1 is min, where are you on both fear and anger right now in life?
All right. On a scale of 1 to 100, anger, I'm at like 12.
You're that low on anger?
Super low. Well, maybe a little bit higher after that Q&A where you just had like the mentorship Q&A and someone was talking about like
virality.
Someone that they were reading, they were talking about the importance of virality and I just lost it because going viral is just so overrated.
I disagree. That wasn't even real anger. That was passion because you were imparting a lesson.
I was angry and you even pulled me in. You were like, all right, let's not get too angry on this one. You like let it off just because you could tell that I was angry. Yeah, but that was like, yeah. So
it was an important lesson that going viral isn't going to help your business like most coaches who are getting started think it will help your business, and that the brick by brick approach leads to the sturdy, steady foundation and house that lasts for generations rather than the tall, narrow house built on sand that tips over.
The biz gurus who are telling you that how to go viral are the same shit sticks as the people who are like trying to tell someone to like use an ice bath to get a six pack and like to, it's nonsense. It's just, yeah. And going viral is so overrated as opposed to just building a small audience of people who really love and care about you than trying to go viral. It's just a terrible strategy. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So my 12 might even be inflated from that anger. Like I might even be lower than that.
Where are you at on where?
Fear's high.
In life fear's was high. A bad, because obviously you're not angry, like, okay. Fear? 80?
Fear is like high 80s.
88?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, probably 88.
And what is going on there? What's that driven by primarily?
There's so much going on. Just like, there's just so much to be fearful of in my life right now. Not in everybody else's life, but in my I've got another daughter on the way. Fearful, right? Also, like, so much chaos and so much fear, but also so much joy, right? So you've got that. All these Instagram posts popping up about all the awful things that can happen to your children based on like whether it's a predator or even just a fucking toy that they chew on and they choke on and then it obstructs their airway or it obstructs their fucking bowels.
You know, just like, I mean,
could always, you know,
yeah, terrifying. Fear. What's interesting is that for all of human history, this is the safest time and
100%
Texas, a very safe place for a child to be brought up.
Correct.
It's interesting that the mechanism of information consumption mm-hmm. leads to more fear despite mm-hmm. it being in relative terms, a very safe time, but it makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's that.
You're driven by fear in general. So do you like having high fear levels?
From like an emotion perspective, I hate it. From a productivity perspective, I thrive on it. Like I know behaviorally it's good from a productivity perspective. I know from a, probably a health and longevity perspective, it's terrible. And
day-to-day enjoyment level?
Well, I still enjoy life a lot. Like I'm pretty good with that. I just know like there'll be moments where I'm like, ah, fuck, just gotta fucking do it. Just like, oh shit, let's go, like get it done. And then like, I'll do it. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I can relax. But it's not like I'm just walking around fucking petrified all day.
No, that's not what we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like your anger of the 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014 shifted at some point.
To fear.
Or maybe they were both there and now the anger's gone.
I think they were both there, but I think it's almost like the anger was in order to achieve it. Mm-hmm. And then once you achieve a level, you get scared of losing it.
Oh.
And so much of my fear comes from losing like family, losing whatever. So the anger drove me to create it. Mm-hmm. And then once it was created, including daughter, like my family, then the fear of losing it is that's what's scary, right? So it's like, I feel like I'm so content now with what I have that I'm not angry enough to build more. I'm just scared of losing it. Does that make sense?
100%. And in the earlier days, when you quote unquote had less, there was less to be afraid of because there was less to lose.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Where's your anger at 1 to 100?
3. It would probably be at 1 if I didn't watch Braveheart yesterday. I'm on the plane and I'm all riled up. Sensational movie.
What's your fear at?
I remember when COVID was first starting and we had a podcast and we like very candidly talked about this in April of 2020. And I remember feedback we got on the episode of like, because you were, you expressed some worry and, you know, it was very transparent and vulnerable discussion. And, you know, we didn't know what was going on and there was some worry.
I don't remember this at all. Okay.
Well, I distinctly remember not being afraid. And that's not a brag at even in the least bit. It was just how I was like, but basically the email was like, yeah, whatever, Mike. But like, Jordan, like you are so amazing for having the courage to express that you're afraid. Like for a man to be able to do that is amazing, which I agree. Vulnerability is really good if it's honest like that was. But I don't, my fear levels are very low.
Even lower than your anger?
Yeah.
Okay. What emotions are high?
A lot of peace, a lot of contentment.
All right, you're just a fucking monk.
No, some boredom, maybe some like, I don't know, man. I got a lot of pre-workout in me right now. I feel great. I had a good lift. I had some almonds. Everyone's happy and healthy right now. I'm very fortunate, very grateful. And that can turn on a dime. So
you have no negative emotions right now.
No, I definitely probably have some.
Definitely probably.
I'm talking to my boy. I like, you know, we're podding.
Definitely probably.
We had a good Q&A. Yeah.
Definitely probably.
I don't know. Negative emotions?
I mean, if you don't, yeah, you don't have them. Dude, I'm jealous. You're killing it.
Am I?
Yeah.
A little bit of gasoline makes the fire go blaze. Right?
Sure.
We've talked about, you know, anger, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, very powerful fuel to the point where even when you've resolved issues, it's tempting to manufacture anger to push yourself to greater levels. I'm excited is an emotion I have.
What are you excited for?
Every day.
The pump.
The pump. No, I don't know. You know what? Oh, okay. Here's an observation that I have made recently that could be classified as negative emotion. I've started to understand why there's a cliche that hope is for the youth. And that kind of as you get older, maybe you lose hope or like increase cynicism as you get older.
Why? Is this like all about like the election and everything?
Jordan just steers it right into it because of the election.
That's the only thing I could think of.
No, not specifically related to that. More just pattern recognition on people's mindsets at different ages and speaking in averages, of course.
So there's nothing in particular that you're feeling cynical about?
You know, I think as you get older, you just realize how finite life is. And when you're younger, you think you have time to do anything and everything you want to do. And maybe as you get older, you start to realize that you have, and maybe this is just me, that you have to prioritize and make sacrifices.
That makes sense. Is there anything that you want to do that you feel like too old to do?
No, it's nothing specific. It's just a realization that you can't do everything. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm talking about right now. It's more observation rather than personal.
Got
like
it.
Related to me specifically. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right. We have several things here before the Q&A.
Emails?
No, not emails. Just things I wrote in a notepad to talk about on the podcast. Do you have anything, by the way? You have been doing a pretty good job of that lately.
No, I was tooting my horn about posting on our Instagram and YouTube. That was really it.
Okay. Pick a number 1 through 6.
4.
All right. The fourth thing on this list. Ah, okay. So you know how there's research now that states that, let me back up for a second. It used to be common advice that to motivate yourself to accomplish something, you would make a public declaration and that would hold you accountable to do it.
Yep.
And then there's been some research, it's not even that recent, but that you actually, because you get a dopamine sensation from the positive feedback of the announcement, that it might reduce your likelihood of accomplishing that thing.
Yep.
I had an aha moment that I think there's a split on who that strategy works for and who the strategy doesn't work for based on how much you care about public opinion.
That makes sense.
Because I heard someone talk about this who very clearly like really cares about his reputation and like, you know, what the internet thinks of him.
Do I not like this person? Is this who I'm thinking of?
No, I don't know if it's who you're thinking of, but it's, I don't know who you're thinking of. You can say it.
Is it the person that we've spoken about that?
We talk, people come up in conversation. You can just say it and we'll bleep it. Yeah.
Oh, I was right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
David, bleep that person's name out. But yeah, I was right. Okay.
and basically the pattern recognition I picked up on it was, it's an effective strategy for people who care about what, like if I make a grand announcement and then I don't do the thing that I said I was going to do and I really care of what people think, then it would motivate me to do the thing. But I can't even count on one hand the number of times I've said something. I'm back. I'm posting again, like whatever it is. And it has created no accountability or motivation or so it's funny. I think it depends on your personality type, whether or not a public declaration would be an effective strategy to commit yourself to a task or a project or an idea, or if it would be better for you not to say anything, but just to let your actions speak for you. And there's no right or there's no like better or worse or right or wrong. It's just knowing yourself. And knowing what strategy is going to propel you to do things.
I feel like for you, that like pushed you further away from it. Like when you'd be like, I'm back, I'm going to make content. And then people would be like, yes, I can't wait for more. And then you'd be like, I'm not going to do it. People would be like, I'm so excited to like see your stuff every week. And you'd be like, all right, well then I'm not going to make it.
It makes me pretty sad when you frame it like that. When you state it like that, it makes me kind of feel bad, to be honest. But we make weekly content here and I've found a strategy that has led to great consistency. We've been weekly. We missed 1 week in December, but otherwise we're going on like a year and a half every single week and 5 years of quite good consistency. It's knowing yourself and knowing what works for you.
I also feel like this content, like specifically this podcast, the deal was like it had to be fun. Like it had to be enjoyable. And like that's the best part. Whereas like Instagram content, you don't like doing it. And you don't like, never mind doing it. You also don't like the medium in terms of that the vortex it can get you in once you're on there, whether you're posting or not. And then the feedback, like it's just not a good medium. Whereas this is like, it's fun to create and we don't get like the immediate, like we're not in a vortex afterwards. We fucking talk and then we leave.
It's that. It's also that I don't need or want to grow my, like the mentorship is a scalable business for us. It's a membership. One-on-one coaching is an unscalable business. I don't want to grow my unscalable business right now because I'm happy with where it is.
Right, right.
And I also don't want to make content for any other reason, like posting on Instagram, than marketing. And if I don't want to grow my business and I don't want to make content for any other reason, like getting feedback, like, you know, right, or just posting a post or like keeping up with the joke, like the reasons why the many average like non-business people post on social media, not definitely not all, because a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. The main reason, or the only reason you want to post is marketing, but you don't want to market because you don't want to grow the business. So why would you be posting if that's, so it makes total sense.
Yeah. But this is fun. And like you said, that is, I mean, the amount of effort that you and I put into growing the mentorship on a scale of, let's go back to our 1 to 100 scale. We jump on a podcast that we basically don't plan anything for 1 hour out of 168 hours per week. And that's the marketing.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Should we dive into Q&A?
No, let's do another question.
Okay. All right.
Two.
All right. Shout out my guy, Danny Miranda, who put me onto this idea. I realized that I and many people that I listen to now use language that is counter to what it actually means, which I think has a negative impact on everything.
Okay.
Meaning, I'm happy as hell. What? What does that mean? Hell? Like you're trying to say you're really happy. You're happy as hell?
Interesting.
Sick is an example I heard. That's sick. And I used to say this all the time. That's sick. If I think something is really cool or really awesome, why would I then bring it down with something that's terrible? Sickness. This like inverted language that became patterned in society. Another one, I was typing to a client. You're killing it. Keep killing it. I always say that. You're not killing. Like, we're not killing. You're dominating. You're doing great. You're doing awesome. I'm going to try and use more accurate language.
I don't know if I agree with this one.
I know you wouldn't. This is way too woo. You'll agree with it in 7 years, but I didn't expect you to.
I don't know, man. This one's definitely beyond me right now.
It's okay. Pick a new number.
Hold on. I mean, you just want to skip right over it, not even have a conversation.
Yeah, you can let this marinate for a little bit.
All right, let me let this marinate because...
Yep.
This one's tough for me to swallow. And I'm not even swallowing it. You know what I mean?
I believe it. You're just chewing. Pick another number.
Let's go with one.
All right. I've got a client who I've been working with for some time. It's a dude. Wanted to lose body fat, get stronger. Over the course of several months, made some progress, recomped a little bit, waist measurements came down a little, made great progress in the gym, technique in terms of strength, like really solid, but not a lot of weight loss and not necessarily as much body recomposition as you'd expect for what his intake was. And we did something that you and I suggest, you know, I would argue every other week on mentorship Q&As in situations like this, which is, I want you to not only send me your food logs every single day for the additional accountability that that offers, but I want you to take a picture of every single food that you eat, whether it's I don't care if it's a sip of water, if it's a drink of alcohol, if it's your breakfast, if it's one bite of beef jerky, I want a picture of every single thing that you're eating. And in less than 3 weeks, scales down 8 pounds.
Wow.
And he is crushing. And I don't think he listens to the podcast, but you know who you are and you're dominating if you are listening. I wanted to say killing it there. It's just, but there's an important lesson here, and it isn't – like, I think a lot of maybe newer coaches might hear that and be like, oh, like there's a level of dishonesty or there's a level of, whether it's willful blindness or just mistakes around tracking, because there were a couple of small things that we cleaned up by having picture and food log side by side and asking, you know, was there oil here, butter here? The main takeaway was he was doing a really, really good job during the week. And then there were a few meals out where he wasn't tracking them, and they were much, much higher calorie meals than he would have expected them to be not tracking them. And so the simple act of, and it's a real commitment on the client side, but it works, taking a picture of every single thing you're eating and emailing it to a coach for accountability.
So did he email it and then you were like, bro, that's a fucking huge meal? Or was he like, you know what, I'm not going to eat this because I have to take a picture?
I said that I wanted to help him plan what he was going to get at any restaurant if he could let me know at least a day in advance.
And I
believe it was Friday of the first week. I might be wrong on this, but he said, I want to go to Benihana tomorrow night or tonight. I don't remember. And I said, cool. Like, what are you planning on getting? And we started going through, and he told me what he was planning on getting. And I know Benihana extremely well. So I started asking questions like, okay, well, will you get, you know, like the shrimp appetizer that comes with it? Will you get the miso soup and the salad? Will you get fried rice or go with white rice? Like, will you get a sushi appetizer? Will it be actual sushi or sashimi or a roll? If it's a roll, what kind of roll will it be? You know, ice cream at the end that comes with it, and going through everything and knowing like the amount of oil they put on their vegetables, the amount of butter they slap on when they're making the fried rice.
Bro, the fried rice is so good. So much butter.
A pretty casual meal at Benihana that seems like, you know, an app with a little soup and scallops and chicken with vegetables and some rice. It seems like a reasonable meal is actually a 3,000 plus calorie meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so identifying that, and I said, you know, go to Benihana, but probably skip this or have this instead of this, and had some suggestions. And the next day he said, you know, I just decided not to go to Benihana. Sent me his picture of his normal meal that he made. And that was that. Friday, Saturday, Sunday goes by. But then the next week he picked a different restaurant. And when he went to that restaurant, you know, got lower calorie things, they had calories on the menu, sent pictures of everything, basically is more mindful around tracking and choosing which restaurant he's eating out at. And yeah.
Was he going to Benihana with people or just by himself?
With someone.
Got it. Okay. And he was like, yeah, never mind. Got it. I mean, good for him. That's amazing. I love that. And that's just super good coaching too, of just being like, all right, let's take the pictures. And then it's not just like sending pictures, but also just the real time. All right, here are your options. This is what's going to happen. Like, here's what you can do instead. Like, there are so, it was a really good example of very high quality coaching, where so much of quote unquote macros coaching done nowadays is where people are like, all right, just here's what you eat, here's how much, and then they let you go. But they don't talk about the planning, the discussion, the research that the coach has to do. Like, I think that was a really good example of what a good coach is going to do.
Thank you, Jordan.
I didn't know you were such a big Benihana guy.
Oh yeah.
How do you know Benihana so well?
In high school, they had a lunch special. It was like $9. And it was basically the same as a dinner entree with just a little bit of a smaller portion. We would go on either Saturday or Sunday.
You and your family?
No, but my friends.
You and your friends would go to Benihana every Saturday or Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Would you get alcohol?
Did we drink alcohol? No, I didn't drink in high school.
Oh, wow. So you just go to Benihana and chill and just eat?
Yeah, get like a Diet Coke and enjoy, eat, throw some ice on the hot stove and watch it sizzle.
Wow. Man, I didn't know you were a Benihana guy.
Yum yum sauce adds up. Why is that funny?
I think it's funny because I just think about who decided to name it that, and in like what fucking board meeting were they like, all right, these stupid Americans, we're just gonna like name this yum yum sauce, and like they'll fucking
uh-huh. That's pretty good.
It's just like, who thought of this name? And it's actually a genius name, but it's like actually hilarious, and I would love to know how they came up. Well, yeah, we're gonna call it yum yum sauce.
good marketing
yep
okay Do you want to talk about anything else?
One, two, three.
No, we don't have to do them all.
Pull up the questions?
I think we should pull up the questions.
Also, and before the question, I was thinking about like why my fear is higher. Another thing, just launched the new Inner Circle app, and like, dude,
how's it
launching
going?
A new app? I mean, it's good, but also like, you know, there's a lot of tech inside of it. So there's the workouts, the videos, nutrition tracker, barcode scanner, consistency calendar, weight. Like literally, this is a one size fits all nutrition app. Mm-hmm. And like, as you know, when you launch tech, like there are bugs and issues with it. Mm-hmm. And the more shit that's in it, the more bugs and stuff there are going to be.
Is your developer on top of it?
Oh, yeah. We have a full-time dev team now that's like on it constantly, which is like great. But there's also there are some people who are in the Inner Circle who are like, hey, I'm in tech. I understand there are bugs, like not a problem, da, da, da. And like they're fixing it literally every day. They're fixing the bugs. They're on top of it nonstop. There are other people who are like, what the fuck? And I'm like, the fear of like, oh shit, maybe they're going to leave, da, 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 da. So like that is, and then like also feel, they're DMing me, they're emailing Susan, they're emailing Kat, they're emailing the dev team. Like they're posting in the Facebook group, what's going on? Like it's nonstop. So that's
how many days has it been? Like less than a week, right?
I think it's been exactly a week. I think. Oh, dude, wait. I think it's less than a week.
The number of people who, like, that's like the loud minority situation right there. Most Correct. People yeah, are yeah. chill about that kind of thing. People who are chill aren't going to be making posts saying, hey, app's down, but I'm super cool with it. Hope everyone's having a great day. Like not a post someone makes. It's just the less than 1%
of people. To be fair, there
were
some people that were. It was actually really cool. Like there were like 20% of people who were having trouble logging in. And one of the women who was having trouble logging in, she was like, well, you know, a lot of us are struggling. So like, how's everyone doing? Like, and like literally just made a thread about that. And this woman was so nice. She was like, I actually want to take let's make a whole thread about how much we appreciate Jordan and Susan. And it was just like that's nicest awesome. Thing ever, which was great. But, you know, as someone motivated by fear, seeing all like the negative stuff, I was like, oh, shit, we got to get on this. So that's another thing why cortisol is high right now.
Yeah, which makes complete sense. Any kind of launch combined with new tech and like that makes sense. What? Maybe we just cut this completely or not. Or maybe we just go
vague. Not cut it.
Maybe we go vague on this. I'm not trying to blow you up, but it might be an interesting discussion. Do you know what your margins are? Like the fact that you said
you know me, what a ridiculous question.
The fact that you said dev team, my mind went to, oh man, like I knew he was paying to have the app built, but I wasn't thinking about recurring cost of a dev full-time dev team.
Yeah.
Combined with lot. Videographer, like
podcast producer, virtual assistant.
If you were to take your base costs and though you know a base cost for an online coach, it's like your website hosting, like they're very minimal, but we see a lot of people who idolize or I don't know aspire towards having memberships from a very early stage and just giving a realistic look at, you know, I don't need numbers, but if we can maybe get it on a percentage basis.
Yeah. I mean, it was actually funny because within the last year, closer to a year ago than now, but within the last year, there was someone in the Facebook group who was like, man, like, look how many members there are. Like Jordan's really like raking it in or something. And they didn't understand, number one, that we don't kick members out. So like not all of the members are active paying members. And then people in the comments were like, no, there are a lot of comments on that one, but people were like, well, you have to remember, like, it's not like all profit, like there's so much that goes into it. So like we said, you know, videographer, dev team, app development, like all this stuff that goes into it. So I don't know what, I have no clue.
The takeaway is it's not all profit. There's a lot of expenses, and that's not even getting into personal expenses. mortgage, yeah, family, correct. Like, you know, car, like all these other things. It's interesting. It's interesting, yeah, to think about the potential options, knowing what you want, knowing yourself, and making the decision.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also say, like, there are pros and cons with everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're chasing the lowest stress lifestyle for the highest possible, highest income and lowest stress, a membership is not the way to go.
Let's name that. The Syet metric, income to cortisol ratio.
Yeah, sure. We could go with that. But like, people think that this low cost membership is going to be like this idea of scalability leads to outrageous amounts of income and outrageous amounts of freedom. And in some ways it does, and in other ways it doesn't. And there's a cost to everything.
You had way more freedom when you had a full roster of one-on-one online.
I could be anywhere I wanted at any point in time doing whatever I like. Yeah, there's way more freedom.
But the downside is every additional client is a one-to-one ratio more of your time.
Correct. Correct. Exactly.
Yeah. So it only scales to a certain level.
And you know, the famous quote, like, more money, more problems. I know I said that whiter than anybody, but like, it's the bigger your business gets and the more people you have, the more problems you're gonna have, the more stress, the more fires you have to put out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the bigger it gets, the bigger your operation gets, the way more difficult it becomes. And the bigger it gets, the more you're going to need other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just inherently. So it's like, it's definitely not as simple. The people who say they want a big business or they want to create an empire.
You gotta know yourself.
You don't know yourself, but you also don't know what that means. It's sort of like the people who think, oh, I'm going to build this big business just so that they can walk away from it. Like, then you don't want a big business. like if you can walk away from it, it's going to be a long, long time. And it's probably not going to be what you think. So
that's why Gary had a 2 to 2+ year window, maybe even longer, where he described himself as a firefighter. Because all he did all day was put out fires. As CEO and chairman, like, this email's a fire. This text is a fire. This call is a fire. Every single thing is just put out fire, put out fire, put out fire, put out fire. And some people are built for that, and he is.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He can really compartmentalize super well.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. Another interesting phenotype of aspiring online coach is not just that I want to build a big business, but I want to have a big audience.
Yeah.
Like, I want the fame and I want the accolades and I want the numbers is also an interesting starting place.
There's also, it's so funny because I remember being like, oh man, it'd be so cool if when I'm out, people like recognize me and like wanting that. And it's such a blessing. It's like an unbelievable blessing when someone recognizes you and comes up and says, oh, you've helped me so much. Like, it's the most amazing thing. But also it's unnerving in some ways, especially now that I have a family, because it's like I'm out and like, you know, people see me with my wife and daughter and like, you know how fucking protective I get and how like I'm looking out my window. There's a car. Like, dude, it gets to a point where I'm like, I wish... And I'm nobody relative to like a real famous person, but like even the little bit that I'll get recognized, it's like, it's unnerving thinking about the risks that it poses. I can't even imagine being on Gary's level or on like a real famous actor's level. Like, oh my gosh, if I could not be recognized at all, I would take that any day over being recognized. Like, it doesn't take away from how special it is and how wonderful it feels, purely from like the safety perspective for my family more than anything. And for like the you immediately have a target on your back immediately, and it never goes away.
You don't want to take back the good things that you've done for those people and how much you've helped those people and take that back, but just the public recognition piece of it.
Correct.
If there was a way for that not to happen. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Questions, or should we just keep riffing?
Dude, I'm
let's do a couple questions. I feel like we, that's our system. That's our setup. Consistency.
All right. Someone said, how do I manage my stress better? How do you manage your stress, Michael? I feel like you're very good at managing stress.
I think that I don't know if I do this naturally or if I learned it somewhere along the way and internalized it. So I don't know if I get credit or not, but I really don't focus much on things that are outside of my control. So I'm really good at like letting worries kind of just go float away that I can't take an action against to rectify the situation or to move it in a direction. You know, I, over the years, as I've gotten older, I've focused more habits around health rather than just around vanity or aesthetics or how it makes me feel. Like a lot of health and fitness habits are now centered around health. So getting enough sleep, getting high quality sleep. I don't really like the taste or the way alcohol makes me feel. So not really drinking, healthier food choices, recognizing things that just make me feel better and be better and leaning into those. Caffeine management. I don't know. I don't know if these are good answers. I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, dude, they're great answers.
They're more of high level, like how to prepare myself to handle stressful situations when they pop up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I'm just trying to think of questions to ask about that because like those are very like straightforward. You know, you don't drink alcohol. You are very aware of how much caffeine you have. That was something that for me, you know, you're a numbers guy. You're very aware, like you track this stuff. I had never really tracked caffeine until you were like, dude, like maybe try bringing your caffeine down. Cause like, I'd be like, dude, I'm fucking anxious. You're like, how much caffeine do you have? And I'd be like, oh, not that much. I don't know, like this much. And he'd be like, hold on. You had this. Bro, you're at like 550 milligrams of caffeine. I'd be like, oh, shit. And that's like five times like what I thought I had. Mm-hmm. And so tracking stuff like that was helpful for me because then I realized when I kept my caffeine lower, obviously that was super helpful for stress.
Mm-hmm.
And you need way less caffeine in order to get the same benefit when you really bring that down for a while, which has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Your sleep quality improves too.
Yeah.
Which has a positive
especially
positive
because
feedback.
Not just laying, not laying, you know, in bed, just up, just like fall to bed, fall to sleep way more quickly.
You used to do that a lot. You used to be up really late on your phone, I feel like.
Yeah, I've also gotten much better about putting my phone down. Like, I don't really just stay up. Very rarely will I just stay up looking at my phone. I've gotten much better at breaking the scroll cycle and just putting it down.
Nice.
Yeah, I've gotten much better at that. And dude, I haven't, you know what's actually helped with that is I really haven't been drinking much at all lately.
Nice.
For no other reason than just, I just haven't wanted to. Which honestly, like a big one, dude, I remember you laughed when I brought it up, but my skin was getting really fucked up from the alcohol.
I didn't know. I thought you were coming at it from like a vanity perspective and you were
no,
like.
No, it like burned. Like my skin was like burning because it was so dry and the alcohol was really drying it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so like literally like my face would hurt. And so since I stopped drinking, like that's actually, it's felt really good. My wife literally today, she was like, your skin looks so much better since you haven't been drinking. Which has been great. It is interesting though, because at night, like I still do want a drink. Like I really do like alcohol. Like I really enjoy it. I like just having a drink and just relaxing and reading and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, all right, well, I know tomorrow, it's not worth the pain tomorrow. It's like the burning is just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been where I've been recently with that.
Cool.
I don't know. It's not discussing stress at all.
But I would imagine that has had a positive effect.
Yeah.
I mean, alcohol helps many people who like to drink, helps them manage stress while they're drinking, but then has the negative effects the next day.
I think for me, because I've been reading the Old Testament a lot, like trying to every night, I've been missing it. Last night I missed it, and I think the night before I missed it as well. But I've been reading like almost every night the Old Testament, and like just like leaning more into it as well, and like in conversations with God. And then people are like, oh, why is this turning into a religious podcast? It's not. It's just always, me talking about personally.
Been. No, it always has been a religious podcast. <so. laughs> look, if you can't listen to someone who you might have a disagreement with.
Correct.
That's okay. Yeah. But, you know, you're not pushing anything on anyone. You're just expressing what you do. And
I think for the thing where you said you were like, you know, you try not to focus on the things you can't control. It's one of those things where that plays a big part with me, and like whether it's thinking about God, having conversations with God, and understanding that like, all right, this is completely out of my control, but understanding there's something greater going on and like something greater at play, being able to view it in a more positive light from that perspective and just moving on has been much more helpful for me.
Mm. Are those conversations internal in your head or out loud?
Yes and yes, like a little bit of both. Like sometimes I'll have them in my head. Sometimes I'll like, if I'm driving, oftentimes I'll like have it out loud where it's just like, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a little bit of both.
Cool.
Yeah. That's been something, because my buddy Sean, you know, Sean, and Sean's like a devout Christian. And we were talking about it we talk about it a lot actually. But I think a lot of what my upbringing in religion has been around, like you say certain prayers. Mm-hmm. But one thing that's been really nice is like not just having certain prayers for certain situations, but also just like throughout the day, actually taking time to have a conversation with God, like speak with God. What are your thoughts? Like, what are you going through? Like, what do you want? What do you need? What are you asking for? Like, why are you asking for it? As opposed to And the prayers are great as well, like for like before you eat and like being grateful for what you're having and the food that the life that was taken in order for you to eat this, all that I think has been wonderful too. But also just the being able to vocally and verbally express yourself in the moment for maybe there isn't a prayer for it. It's just like a legitimate conversation, which has been
a casual conversation, which is.
Yeah.
One of the bases for building a relationship with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that couldn't make more sense in terms of, I don't want to call it a stress management tool because it comes off as like disrespectful to the creator of the universe, but like it's almost at the basis of how I or how many people manage everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was cool. Wasn't expecting that.
There we go, man.
And then I had other ideas of stress management things to add, and I don't even want to after that. Feels like. Oh, also, I've been taking more steps and looking at less screens and working out more.
So magnesium.
My supplement stack. Do you get negative feedback for talking about God on the internet?
Well, I've seen people get negative feedback for it. I have very minimally like, hey, like keep that separate, but it's not even about me. I've seen it on other people's and I know that some people get very defensive as soon as they hear it and they almost disregard anything that's said afterwards. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because of their relationship with God or their relationship with religion or what they perceive it to be. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people hear someone start talking about God and they immediately take it as someone being preachy or someone like thinking I'm holier than thou, which is funny for me because the deeper I try and grow my relationship with God, like the less and less and less holier than thou I feel. Like it's like, I really see how I actually have so much more empathy for people in so many different situations. And it's just something that has helped me deal with so many of the things that I struggle with. So it's trying to break down the idea of, I'm not saying like I'm better or I'm at all or I'm perfect at all. It's literally me being like, I have a lot of issues that I try and work through, and that trying to develop that relationship, I feel like it helps me a lot. So like that's literally where I come from, which is why I try and lead with that from the beginning to break down that barrier. Cause I feel like sometimes people have such a bad relationship with religion and God that as soon as that's mentioned, immediate anger, immediate resistance. And so it's like, if I could just play defense a little bit, it might open them up to it a little bit more, just to like hear it out rather than just like turn it off.
That makes sense. You know who was the king of that? Was peak prime 2016, 2017, Jordan Peterson. Like before he was political at all, when he was doing his Bible lecture series and had hundreds of thousands, like unbelievable views on these videos that were 3-hour lectures on the book of Genesis. And you had devout atheists gobbling up every minute of these. Like it almost like makes me sad because now he's done so many other things and is known for so many other things. But like that era in 2017, specifically when he was doing that lecture series, he touched like a high point in culture. Like he was right on the, I don't even know the right word. He was riding the very edge of the biggest wave at a pretty insane time. Pretty remarkable in hindsight. Just because what you just described, like to have that many people, non-religious, agnostic, like people of other faiths, even Christians, like coming together and listening to every word about the Old Testament, about these stories that coming off this wave of new atheism and like Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris and all these guys who in like, you know, the years prior had so much popularity. It was beyond remarkable.
It almost seemed like that's what people were really craving, needing to have, like that level of explosion over these outrageously long lectures at a time when atheism and everything, I think, was at its peak. People are like, I need this. I'm hoping for this. I'm looking for this, but I don't know what to do or where to begin. He was there to really offer people like, all right, well, let's have these conversations. And he did such a good job of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. I don't know if you're going to want to talk about this, but we'll throw it out there and we'll be finishing up. I read this one last night and it took me a minute to understand it. So I'll say it and then I'll explain it if you need it. So my question box said, how can I help? And this woman, she says, your spouse's best friend hates their wife and they act nasty after hanging out with them. So this woman, her husband's best friend hates his wife. And when her husband hangs out with that best friend, he might be coming home and acting nasty to her. That's all she said. You want to skip this one?
No. I'll be a fly on the wall for this one. This feels like one of those, like when your parent is like, every time you hang out with Matthew, you come back and you like have a bad attitude. Like you're not hanging out with him
That's
anymore.
So true.
I fully believe, by the way, right? We are the average of who we spend the most time with. And like, the dynamic here is interesting. I have no idea what this woman should do.
Yeah. So much of it depends on the husband.
Yeah. Well, it's like you would think, I don't know. I guess my mind goes to being open and trying to have a conversation around his friend's relationship to try to understand what's going on. Why does his friend hate his wife? Why does his friend act this way? What's going on with them?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm way out of my depths on this one. Go ahead.
I think we both are, But like, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I think any logical person would say, all right, let's try and have a logical conversation, explain how we feel and start with that, which I think makes sense. But that's also assuming that this person is going to have a logical conversation back.
So
yeah, exactly. So like,
you don't think he could tell the wife what's going on with those other two based on what he's been told?
Oh no, of course he can. But like, I don't know anything about this, the woman who's asking. I don't know anything about the husband that she's talking about. I don't know anything. There's so many variables here that it's really impossible to know what's going on. Cause I mean, it could be that the husband's coming back and he's acting nasty. That's one aspect. It could also be that this wife, the woman who's asking the question, doesn't like the friend at all, and then has a negative perception when the husband comes home, and maybe he's not acting nasty, but she just takes it as being nasty because she doesn't like that he's hanging out with him. Like the husband could really be acting nasty, or he might not be. And so there's so many assumptions that have to be made. And I'm just going to assume that what she's saying is accurate. I'm going to assume that her husband is actually acting like a brat and being rude when he comes home after hanging out with this guy who doesn't like his wife. I'm just going to assume that's accurate. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, the logical recommendation is have a sit down conversation. Don't do it when the TV is on. Don't do it. Like, don't like jump down his throat when he just walks in the door, but like have a real sit down conversation and be like, hey, I'd really like to speak with you about something that is really important to me. And using like, I feel, as opposed to you are language, but like, you know, I feel like I'm being attacked, or I feel like I'm being treated inappropriately at these points in time. Can we talk about that? And then from there being like, listen, I've noticed that when you come back from hanging out with so-and-so, it seems like I'm being treated in X way. And again, so much depends on his reaction and all of that. But like, hopefully a logical and kind husband would be like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that to happen. I'm going to keep a close eye on it. If I am doing that, please tell me. I have a very, I know, because based on the marriage I saw growing up, that if my mom were to say something like that to my dad, it would not have been met with a logical response, right? So thinking to what I saw, it would have been met with, that's horse shit. That's not true. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's why I'm being very like, it really does depend on the response and the individual. So like, it's, if God forbid my wife ever said that to me, like the conversation would be, that is absolutely not how I meant to make you feel. I'm so sorry that's been happening. I'm going to do my best to work on that. But then on the other hand, you know, I'm watching Love is Blind right now. I know you're watching it as well. And I see some of the other stuff that's got, what episode are you on, by the way?
I don't know. 6.
Okay. Chelsea's fucking crazy, right? So like, Chelsea is the one who said she looks like Megan Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty, right? Yeah, she's pretty, she's
so something happened where like, I don't want to spoil it for you, but I also feel like it would be super helpful in this exact moment.
You can spoil.
It's very small. It's not a big deal. Basically, they get in a fight because, what's her fiance's name? What's his fight? Jimmy. Jimmy went out to his friend's birthday party.
Oh, I definitely haven't seen this.
Jimmy went out to his friend's birthday party and Chelsea got mad at him because he went out. Yeah. And she was like, you told me in the pods that you're not a person that goes out. And he was like, I went to my friend's birthday party. Like it was just a birthday. I just want to be at my friend's birthday party. And she was like, yeah, but I don't want to be with someone who goes out. And he's like, it is wild. Like it was fucking crazy. So basically like, I don't know what's going on the wife's side here. Like, is she putting unrealistic expectations? Like, I don't know. So it really does depend on so much, but assuming that the wife is being logical and objective here and what she's saying is accurate, you have to have a sit down conversation and just be like, this is what I feel like is happening. Can we work on this? And hopefully you're met with a logical and understanding response that can improve the outcome.
I hope so too. My only takeaway there is
Chelsea is nuts.
No. Male friendship in adulthood is drastically underrated in this day and age. And I think way more of the like suburban dad types should be spending more time with male friends, like making each other better. I'm not talking about going out and like getting boozed up and hitting on girls and like
going to a strip club.
No, 0%. But like building each other up and making each other better and holding each other accountable to be a good man. To the point where I don't think about this stuff enough, so I just default to personal experience. But after hanging out with a guy friend or guy friends, I come back a better version of myself, not a worse version of myself, not someone who's like going to be demeaning or like saying these types of things. And maybe that's on him and the type of friends that he has. I don't know, but she picked him to marry or let him pick her, however you want to look at it. And so she must think reasonably highly of him.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I don't have any help. If the person who asked this question is listening to the podcast, listen to what Jordan said, not me. I'm sorry. And to everyone else, I just think that, especially for the dudes listening, and like male friendship and male accountability to each other is unbelievably helpful for mental health, for the betterment of each individual, which leads to the betterment of society.
Yeah. I think like it's, especially as you get older, I think good men hang out with good men, and good women hang out with good women, is like super important.
Mm-hmm.
For I think it's really important. So I think it makes everyone better.
Yeah.
And if you're hanging out with people who are not good, cut them out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so hard, right? You can, depends on your definition of good.
What do you mean?
Like, if they're really doing bad stuff, yes. But if you have a buddy who you've been friends with for 25 years, who's like starting to head down the wrong path, I don't know that cut him out is the play versus get him back on the straight and narrow. Hey, you've been doing this on this day? No more. We're hitting the gym at this time on this day every single week. Like, you and me, let's go. It's
correct. I think, and what you just hit on is actually a really important aspect of it, which is like, if they're doing stupid shit, you're not going to be with them while they do stupid shit.
Correct.
It's like you're going to bring them in to doing good stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, be with me while we do something good. I'm not going to be with you while we do something bad. And if you don't want to be with me while we do something good, that's your choice. But I'm not going to go with you to do something bad just to hang out with you just because we've been friends for 25 years.
Correct.
It's like, you're welcome to be with me while we do something positive, but I'm not going to be with you while we do something negative.
Yes. And if he doesn't want to go with you when you do something positive, then you just hammer him with texts with clips to the movie Braveheart that are like, hey, you remember who you're supposed to be. All right. Saturday.
Freedom. 8 a.m. Yeah. Love that.
Good pod.
Good pod, dude.
Good episode. Thank you very much for listening. No right hooks here. No right hooks. We're just here every single week. We appreciate you listening, and have a great week. Let's get it.
See ya.